Hi, Bonnie Simmons here, and we are at quorum and ready to begin the archive committee meeting tonight. Don, would you like to take roll formally?
I'll do that. Bonnie Simmons, chair, is present. Jane Jackson, Madeline Schwab.
Here for just a little while.
Okay. Steve Brown.
Yes.
Melinda Iledon. Sherna Clark?
Here.
I'm sorry, I'm going to go answer my door. Keep going.
Very well, very well. Phil Jackson?
Here.
Kalanji Olisagon?
Here.
And Brian?
Yes,
Director
Brian.
Of Archives. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Brian DeShazer is here. Addie Givens? Addie Givens? Okay.
Is that Addie?
Addie Heffley?
Patty's here.
Patty is present. Thank you. Michael Warren? Don White is present. Dan Logan? And A.C. Bird? A.C. Bird. Okay. We do have quorum, so the chair, when she's ready, can go ahead.
Sorry, I just had to run and answer the door.
Madam Chair, this is Teresa. Do you mind if I listen in on this committee, or can I be of assistance at all?
Oh, Teresa Allen, yes, a former member of the committee, I think.
Chair. Teresa, what is going to happen? All right. So now Phil is replacing you as the director.
Well, I'm assuming that people cast their votes, and I don't think we've actually received a formal notification of that, have we, Phil?
No, not yet.
But I formally stepped down, and Phil was the only one running, and it was well known on the PNB that, you know, the other two were not interested. Evelyn Bethune and Deb Shafter were not interested in the position, but I have expressed a willingness to participate in subgroups or be of service to the committee if I can be of assistance in any way.
I guess my only question is, if Phil moves into the director seat on this committee, does the local LSB have to do anything to make sure that we then have two LSB representatives from Houston?
That is correct. There should be two delegates, and I don't know that we got to that at our last meeting. It is on the agenda.
Okay, great. Great. Anyone object
to Madam Chair?
Yes.
And a point of clarification. Was Phil on the archives as a LSB member before that?
Yes. Wait.
He was not.
No.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he was. I'm so sorry. Yes, he was. He was a delegate.
Oh, okay, from the local station. Okay. Now, okay, I guess since this is in flux, I suppose it's, and I guess, well, I think that we've had a discussion on the national level about people not on the committee participating in the committees, like on the calls and everything, and I think that did we clarify that, whether people not on the committee could be on the call or they could just listen in except for executive session? Not that I don't love Teresa like a big bunch, but I'm not really sure. We had this big discussion, and I just don't want to, not speak up because I like Teresa or something. I'm not sure if we got clarified on what happened with that. Do you remember, Don?
No, that has not been resolved by the PNB. That has not been voted on and resolved.
I do know that one time the programming committee allowed me to join the meeting, and they were not opposed to that, and I took their minutes.
I think that we can, as a committee, maybe agree or something like that. But and since we didn't make a policy, but you know, I'm just don't want to. I think that we have done that before, and in the finance committee, for example, and we had to vote on it and stuff. I know it's tedious, but I just want to make sure, because there's we just have to do the right thing, even though it seems silly.
I understand, and so, I certainly would not want this to affect your quorum, and it is setting a precedent, and it could be a problem if you had, you know, if you had 10 people that wanted to join your meetings, it would affect the cost of your conference call. So,
Bonnie, this is Sharna. I'd like to make a comment here, if I could. I don't think we have to deal with this tonight, because right now it seems like Teresa may still be the actual member of the committee, because their LSV is not formally voted yet. So can
right.
we assume that's the case and move on?
Do you hear any objection to doing that?
Not
no.
me.
Then
no.
let's proceed.
Well, point of order. We just have to establish that Phil Jackson is on the call and is a legitimate member of this particular committee tonight, and then it has to be resolved in the future with a formal
right.
vote. But you're not asking Teresa to are you asking Teresa to replace Phil, or would they both be on the call?
No, I was assuming they would both be on tonight's
yeah.
call.
Yeah, good, good.
Point
I
of
agree.
Information.
Sarv, did you say, is that Sarv? I can't quite hear you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I was a little late. I was on the bridge. Just joined you. So what are we discussing here?
We're trying to move on.
Move on from where?
It is it's that Teresa is stepping down as the director on this committee from Houston,
okay.
so that Phil Jackson can step up as the director
okay.
on this committee.
Sounds like
and
an aerobic exercise.
Exactly. And the question was from Teresa as to whether she should be on this call, where we stand exactly. And I believe what was determined is that the LSB and the PMB still have to go through some formality on this.
That's right.
So we were deciding, for the sake of being able to move on, that we would have both of them on the call this evening and go from there.
So what would the voting right be? How would that be established?
Was Phil a member of the committee before or not?
Yes.
Yeah. So we would both have voting rights in either case.
Yeah,
correct.
I agree.
Well, as long as there are three. Let's see, right now, are there three members from that? Station?
There are two on the phone tonight, Sarv.
I see. Who was the third one?
Melinda.
Oh, that's right. She's not on. Well, okay. Well, maybe for this meeting... let both of them vote, but, you know, from here on out, because we don't want to make set precedents of some kind, then later on. I remember Mary Berg one time, she or somebody else wanted to be on a whole bunch of committees. And at that time, we said, no, that will make it really wieldy, you know, and that would make it too complicated. So, and I don't know whether we decided to vote on it.
Whatever the committee wishes, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
Is there any objection to us treating both Phil and Teresa as voting members of this committee this evening, with the agreement that before the next meeting, hopefully there will be formalization from both the PMB and from the Houston LSB as to where they sit with this committee?
Well, every committee has a, Madam Chair, every committee has a one director and two LSB members on it, so... For this meeting, it's okay, but for the next meeting or so on, I think we should have one director and two LSB members.
I think that's the intent, Sarv.
Okay, thank you.
Shall we move on? Any objection?
Nope.
Don, you seem to be kindly taking on the secretarial duties for this evening's meeting. I would like to discuss what we might do about next month's meeting, since we're having a rotating secretarial position. Any takers?
I might be able to do it, but I can't completely commit. Honey, it's Sharna. I should be able to do it. I'm having surgery, but I should be sufficiently recovered by then.
Oh, good. I hope that goes well. All right, well, that would be wonderful if you're willing to do it. and I don't hear a great deal of acclaim from anyone else on the call. So I don't think it's much of a competition.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I do have one problem. I'm not going to be, I'm going to be on a landline, and I can't also have my computer on. I'm going to be in the mountains. So if there's any need to be getting something or sending something during the meeting, I won't have that capability.
And I don't have that capability tonight either. I'm way up in northern Washington, and I'm not at a computer, so I don't have that capacity.
That's not a problem.
All right. Well, we'll just try to work around.
Okay.
Yeah. Shall we move to approving the agenda?
Who's taking minutes?
Don White.
Don White is.
Thank you, Don.
I would like to amend the agenda.
Go ahead.
I would suggest that we move the discussion of the PMV meeting up to an earlier place in the agenda.
Where would you like to place it?
Maybe immediately after Brian's report.
Okay, so moving.
And I would like the discussion of the talking points to be part of that, because the idea of those talking points was for to present to the PNB.
Okay. Do I hear any objection to doing what Sherna is asking for?
Sherna, could you give us a reason why you want to move up there like that?
Well, because I just want to make sure that we have sufficient amount of time to talk about what the committee report will be to the PNB. And the report on Grassroots Radio Conference, which is going to be very interesting, and the committee other work group reports are, unless they impact the PNB presentation, I think are not quite as critical. And I just fear that we're not going to have enough time, give the PNB discussion enough time.
Who's going to do the reporting to the PNB? Do you usually, Brian gives it?
No. The committee report. He gives the archive report.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Don White would like to comment on this.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I actually also believe that this discussion around our report to the PNB is very important. I mean, the PNB is dealing with a lot of issues around licensing and how the archives are going to be disseminated, in addition to some of the ways they are now. And I know there are members of the PNB interested in kind of like clarifying the priorities of the archives around how available archives material will be to a broader community, you know, in addition to the wonderful work being done like out of the vault and so on. So part of that discussion I would like to see look at clarifying the priorities of archives vis-a-vis the distribution or availability of our archives to a broader community. So I would support moving this up because I think it's going to be a rich discussion.
Do I hear any objection to moving it up?
No problem.
Hearing no objection, why don't we move it to right after the section on Brian DeShazer's report?
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie, what about this PowerPoint that Phil sent? Are we going to be able to discuss that?
Well, if we're all still alive after a long, long phone call. Let's see, where shall we put that?
Maybe...
Was that sent to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
What time?
I think so. Well, I sent it to the last night. I sent it to the archive, the Yahoo group, and because it had just been sent to me, and I believe Phil, you could maybe fill people in here. I believe that it was sent to all of the individual names on the archive list that don't come through the Yahoo group earlier than that. Is that not true, Phil?
That was the attempt. I did not have a list of all the members, so I can't promise that I got to everybody.
I didn't
but,
see
I took from the email sent to me by the archive group the addresses thereon and sent it to those folks.
Then you would have been on that SARF.
Okay, I did not receive it.
Oh, well, I actually got it three times.
Okay. Well, maybe you got my copy. Okay. Okay, thank you. Well, if you are
material. Here,
send me at onebefore@earthlink.net.
Most of the material I've received, SARF, has not been
on
published.
After the what's now, I guess all the numbers changed, after the discussion of the education work group and development work group, could it come after there if we have time? Unless it's something that is going to also impact the PNV presentation.
Hold on one second. I'm sorry. I just realized that my split page, I have a kind of bunk agenda here. Hold on. All right. So right now we're talking about moving the Phil Jackson presentation item up to, can I hear a suggestion from someone?
Well, might that be part of the discussion of that broader discussion about the presentation? At least the report, the PMB from the committee?
I'd actually like to keep it slightly a separate item because mm-hmm. I think that item's becoming kind of unwieldy.
Okay.
So perhaps we can just have that become come right after the discussion of the PNB meeting, which would make it item 7. I know. Is Addie? Addie's not on the call yet, huh?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
Oh, you are. I know that you want to discuss your item about archive storage space.
Uh-huh.
Where would... I know that that's also kind of pressing in
right.
a practical way. So where would you like that?
Wherever
it is. We can piggyback it off of part of my report, which will be about the storage problem.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, whoever it is, I forgot.
Yeah, this is Mr.
Brown.
Chair. What can I do for you?
I would like to add an item to the agenda.
And what is that, Steve?
And that is to discuss the way the archives are, or actually are not, funded by Pacifica. I don't want to make a presentation now, but I will when the item comes up.
Steve, isn't that really part of that? In a way, under the talking, my talking points thing?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Sure. But it'll be of a motion that I would like this committee to make to the executive director and the Pacifica National Board. It's no good if it just stays amongst ourselves.
Right.
Do you have the motion written?
No, I do not.
Steve, well, let's see. First of all, where you put it, and then at that time we can discuss it.
Well, shouldn't it go into the PNB discussion in that case?
Maybe, but I don't know what that is, and that may be a free-for-all. I want to make sure that it gets discussed as a separate issue.
How about just before the PNB
meeting? If we find that that these things do overlap, then we can simply collapse them. We're not that formal and stuck to a rigidity that would prevent us from doing that.
Okay, so you are talking about making it part of what is now 6. Okay. Any objection to that? Not hearing any. All right, why don't we just make that part of 6, and if we need to segment things, we'll do so at the time.
Bonnie, could we assign times to the items?
Sure. Brian, how long do you think your report will be?
Let me see if I can do it in 15 minutes.
Excellent. Is there a report on grassroots radio for Teresa?
A question. Could I just raise a question over Brian's response? Is that Does that include, like, questions and answers, Brian? Did you factor that in? Because it's very possible that I will have a question pertaining to the issue I brought up. Or I wonder if that should go on another agenda item. The 15 minutes, you will need all of that to report with no Q&A. Is that right?
Well, we can lengthen it 10 minutes with Q&A mixed in. I don't want to say. So, yes, 15 minutes was just me talking, and nobody gets to ask me anything. No comments, no judgments, and no questions.
Okay, so I think we should add 10 minutes to that for Q&A.
Okay, perfect. But no judgments and no criticisms.
That's a deal.
Teresa, did you have a brief report on the Grassroots Radio Conference vis-a-vis the archives?
Yes.
How long will that take?
Oh, 5 minutes.
Okay. Education work group, any discussion there?
No, I sent out an email saying that I really haven't been able to do anything and won't be able to until November.
Development work group?
Well, I know you're part of this now, Bonnie. We will have a report, but it has to do more with what I think is needed to get this thing moving.
Can we do it in 5 minutes?
Yes, I think so.
PNB meeting end of September in Berkeley, plus talking points, plus Steve's motion on are we or not funded by Pacifica. Anybody want to take a swing at that one?
20 minutes.
Oh, more than that. I'd say probably 30 to 45.
Whoosh. What is that?
I am really sorry, but I will be leaving the call tonight at 7:30.
I will too. I'm adding up here, and we're just up to an hour and a half,
and we'll see if we can make it. Okay. Anybody have any problems with these?
No.
Shall we move on?
Let's roll.
Can someone serve as timer?
Oh, that would be really great. It's kind of hard to chair and do that at the same
mm-hmm,
time.
Mm-hmm.
Boy,
I can run time.
Thanks. Who was that? John?
Phil Jackson.
Oh, Phil. Sorry.
Hi, Phil.
Okay.
Okay, and Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair? Let me just recite some names if they're on the call. It'll just take a split second. Is Jane Jackson here? No. Is Melinda here? No. Is Michael Warren here? No. Dan Logan? No. AC Bird? No. Okay, go ahead. Thanks.
So, Don, did you get me in there? I'm in there.
Yes, Sarv. I have you as present now.
Thank you.
Okay. Any objection to passing this agenda as it stands? Not hearing any objection, we have approved the agenda. May we move to approving the minutes from the last meeting in July, which were sent to everyone last week and then again on the bottom of an email yesterday.
I move approval of the minutes.
Second.
Do I hear any objection to approving the minutes as they stand from the July 24th meeting? We have now approved the minutes, and we are moving to Brian's report.
Okay. Timer, get ready, get set, go. all right, so the... from my competitive state. All right, so I think, you know, I've been just got back on vacation from a week just today and worked with the staff in giving a big overview of all the projects that we're working on. And I'm going to speed through this list so you get a sense of what stuff is in the works and what we're working towards. In programming and development, we have the From the Vault weekly series. We have just today got confirmed a November 10th major donor party with Amy Goodman in San Francisco. We have to work on getting the people there, the event, and raising the money. PRA fundraiser days, November 28th and 29th, only 18 days after the major donor event. We'll have the two-day broadcast for the fund drive, for the fund drive, we're working on special programs, Pete Seeger Project, which we've spoken about. We have a new Studs Terkel program we're working on with Studs Terkel being involved in it. He's given us permission to use anything from his library on Studs Terkel Century. We're working on a Women in Film program from the San Francisco Film Festival Restoration Project. We're working with the film festival and making those materials accessible via our online website. We're cleaning up the website that just premiered all of the Preservation Project, which I hope you all have had a chance to browse around in. It's really the products of the grant projects for the past 4 years. We're working on technical issues inside the archives. We're working on moving storage, moving boxes from, we're going to take a break here in a minute for Addie's business on storage. We wanted to move some boxes out of KPFK's music library of old reel-to-reel tapes that are important, as well as our overflow. And we have exceeded our ability to put it into cold storage in Los Angeles without paying a very exorbitant price. So we are actually in the process of moving a bunch of boxes and inventorying thousands. We're about to receive a big shipment from KPFT in Texas of a pallet of tapes that still that will need to go into storage before we get a chance to look at them. And finally, within that realm, we're working on technical maintenance, having people come in and working on old machines and getting the heads cleaned, a very important part of the preservation process. So, Addie, do you want to jump in with storage issue?
Well, just to say that we're out of space, and there's no way that we're not going to be out of space. And we're out of space on the off-site storage, and, Brian, we can't get more in that same facility. Is that
right?
Correct?
Well, the thing is that kind of storage is called media storage facilities. It's for film companies, for old film. They're special humidity and temperature controlled, and special shelving. Those spaces, which are two companies in Los Angeles, all of their space is booked up because that kind of media that goes in there, they really is meant to go into deep storage and nobody touches them forever and ever. So it's not like it's a recycling kind of storage unit that you see people moving in and out of all the time. And Los Angeles is pretty much booked up. Bonnie had a great idea to go to recording studios and try to rent some space. But that does lead into the bigger discussion of the development group and working on finding a building or, you know, a warehouse or something that can't incur the large costs of that kind of support.
Natalie Doan, KPFT.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, so I'll continue on. Thank you. Hi, Melinda.
Hello.
We'll add you to the list and just listen in and you'll catch up. So the storage...
Excuse me, Steve Brown. Brian, I have a question that I want to ask at this point because it seems relevant. Do you have figures on how many square feet you would need for current and future space and what this would cost to outfit if you suddenly got a floor somewhere of raw space, what it would cost to make this suitable? Is just putting a couple of air conditioning units in the window? I mean, are there numbers attached to this?
Right. We do have some of the data from the work we've done with George Blood, but actually in a pending grant that we have with the NEA, we're actually putting in there for someone to give us some specifications and the specs for building space for transfer studios as well as storage. The storage, the square footage, if you get it outfitted to, they have those rolling shelves that sort of bump up against each other. You can increase your space, but the framework that does that is expensive and it needs a bottom floor space for it to be able to work.
Okay. I'll see if I can get some better figures from you later so I can. But,
all right. Well, I think that's actually a good development committee or working group place to gather that material. As I start gathering it, then we can sort of put it in a place where the whole working group can have access to that information to inform everybody.
Is it, just one more question, is it the same specifications in terms of temperature control, humidity, et cetera, that would be developed for, let's say, putting a computer mainframe in a certain area?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's exactly what it is. I don't know the mainframe, you know, specifications. I know the tape ones, you know, so it's whatever it is what it is. You know, it's not like, it's not extraordinary.
It just can't get too hot or too cold.
Yeah, it can't get too hot or too cold. It can't get damp.
Right. With storage, you know, I think the things we've been learning as we recovered the tapes from the San Francisco Film Festival from the KPFA, which you all know was flooded, seeping water. And the tapes that we've recovered and have been working on, we have found some permanent damage to a number of those tapes that are very, very important. So I just want to sort of emphasize the importance of this discussion, but including storage, new building specifications. And I have a good idea for this part of it, but I want to, you know, definitely emphasize the importance of the damage really is becoming permanent, irreversible to very important tapes. So we sort of need to make this an urgent priority to get to. One of the good ideas I had was, KVNF, an affiliate station in Paonia, Colorado, is the first green recycled building, and they got a lot of grant money from environmental education, environmental companies to make their building. They got an old building. They gutted all the parts from within the building, recycled them, and used them again, and then all the materials that came in externally were recycled materials. So they got the prestige of being the first green public radio station. But they also got funded a great deal. So I think that in this discussion and in this sort of place where we can discuss on the development task force specifications and what we want, I think going for money is equally as important as the specifications. But I think a good direction is doing some research in this green idea, green building idea, for money that can be available to us.
A thing people need to be aware of is that it's very dangerous to the collection to disperse it in a lot of places, especially if we're talking about the unprocessed materials where we only have really like a gross inventory. We really can lose things. And then just the nature of the level of permanence of the organization, it's important to, it's possible to lose track of some of the information.
Right. One of the bad stories in that is just when the national office moved from Washington, D.C. to Berkeley and there was a change in management and staff, there was an off-site storage unit in Rosemead, California, that had archive tapes and finance office materials from deep storage, you know, from the 60s or whatever. And it was so full. The last time I went there in 1998, I couldn't even get past the first row of boxes. When National Office took over those payments, they didn't make the payments. The storage unit took all the materials and dumped them. So we lost whatever materials were in there that weren't inventoried are gone simply because of an accounting mistake. And that's not good.
No.
All right, so if I can, let me just move through quickly again through the rest of this quick list and open for discussion. Station services were in this move with KPFK's box move inventory, KPFT's box acquisition, KPFA's box move and inventory, what we've recovered. We're transferring a lot of that now. Democracy Now! Called, and 164 tapes that we digitized for them previously came up missing, so we had to redo those. We're going to be working on the fall fund drives for October, putting together premium packages that are sort of locked in so that we can start working on our own fund drive and free up staff time.
Point of information, can we when do we ask questions?
5 minutes. when you do that, like when you call out and say point of information.
Okay, you're saying that we delivered how many tapes to Democracy Now! That they lost track of?
164. It wasn't a big, huge amount of money to do, but it was, you know, staff time to take and redo stuff that we already did.
Did we have when we send them, do they sign for them?
Yeah, no, we had a record that they'd received them already, but, you know, they had a move from the attic to the floor department, and their archive is somewhere along the line. The volunteer lost a box. One box had a hole in it, and some fell out. You know, it just happens. But I just wanted to let you know what the staff is actually working on. It's not
Brian,
like a big issue.
Brian, to follow up that, they then paid for the reduplication?
No, I managed to actually get Democracy Now! To confirm for Amy to come out to a fundraising event on November 10th.
Okay.
You know, you're a smooth operator, Brian.
See, I learned. Democracy Now! Is hold them over the barrel and see what you can get out of them. So I've been actually working for 2 months to get a date out of them, and I got the date in 1 day once I had the tapes ready to send. So the fall fund drive premiums, we know that the fund drives are very important. We have been doing well. KPFK's last fund drive, we made over $60,000 for them in the fund drive, giving $6,000 of income for the archives, which is at cost, by the way. But anyway, you know, it was good and very helpful for all the stations, so we know how important it is. In terms of like personnel and office administration, we have a cataloger hire. It has been posted on the Society of American Archivists, Current Magazine, some of the station websites, and we've already started the first flurry of resumes, and we'll be starting the interviewing process probably in the next couple weeks.
Is that open until filled?
Yes. I believe that's a good way to say it.
The goal is to hire by when?
Well, I would like to hire them before October 1st so that it's an on-the-paper as a part of FY06 that the cataloger was actually hired. So that it gets into the 07 budget without having to approve the position again.
But we have to see who applies.
Right, but, I don't want to hire by the deadline date and hire a dud.
Right.
No disrespect to the applicant, if they are listening. Within that, because of the current bureaucracy of the foundation, there's a lot of new forms that I have to fill out to get approval of for certain things before they go through. So as I'm learning that process and learning where to submit the forms and make sure that they're actually accepted, received, and processed, Addie is our consultant who has the degree in library sciences, who will be doing part of the interviewing, and I have to make sure that that consultant expense is approved by the board in the correct way. So a lot of my energy is right now working on the foundation relationships of the operations council meeting, the PNB retreat for the OC in end of September, the budget, getting that cleaned up and meeting with Lonnie and Greg on that, working with you guys on the presentation for the board. And in the last category is in preservation. Addie and I will be working on another Grammy Foundation grant, which is due October 1st.
Good.
We just turned in our progress report to the Ford Foundation, and I've gotten approval. Amy Goodman will be doing the online web-accessible essay on contextualizing the protest rallies and demonstration restored audio from that grant. So that's exciting to have her a part of it. Amy was one of the people that actually championed us and helped us get the grant in the first place. And other than regular old stuff, that's kind of it in a nutshell of what the archives is up to for the next few months. It's big. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
This is Teresa. Have we thought about approaching Whoopi Goldberg to help narrate something on poverty or welfare or something like that from the archives?
No, but I'm not against it.
Can I interrupt 1 second? It's Madeline. I just have to go back to the Finance Committee meeting. So I will.
Okay, Madeline.
Okay, next meeting.
Oh, thank you.
Thank
okay.
you, Madeline.
Bye.
Bye.
Please let you know we've come to time.
I just say this because Whoopi was, Whoopi was a programmer, I guess, was it KPFA for a while? I don't know if anybody has any of her material from her program in the archives, but that might be something of historical value, and she might, if we did anything on poverty and, you know, and had her help narrate it, it might be something that could be a very popular premium.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking specifically about the Archives Plunge Drive Day or the From the Vault series or a special program?
I'm just brainstorming. Sorry.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, you know, it actually fits within all of those frameworks.
Yeah. Ryan, I had a question about the From the Vault.
Can I just interrupt for a second? Do we want to extend time?
Well, we have 10
Are we in the Q&A period? Yeah.
We have 10 minutes for Q&A.
I thought you meant the time was up entirely. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sort of done with my report, so now we can focus on Q&A, I suppose.
I think we're ahead of the 15 minutes.
No, we're a little bit past that.
We're past
okay.
it. But, Brian, I had a question on the From the Vault. I know Steve had made an inquiry, and I had made an inquiry of KPFK, and I know that we played it once. I'm not aware of any other time. I wonder, everyone was supposed to be talking to the programming folks at their stations, and I wonder if people have, and if you have any sense of which of the 5 stations, if any, are carrying From the Vault, and is it just on a kind of ad hoc basis, or how that's going?
Right. Actually, I do have some updated information. I know some of you did some work on that, which I appreciate. Most of the stations are running them sort of as fillers for programs that don't show up or don't come in or during times when it's reasonable for them to put in special shows. So I did talk to some of the station managers on Friday. KPFK is actually running the series pretty regularly on Mondays at 2 p.m.
Mm.
And for a couple weeks, they were sort of running them throughout the week, filling in spaces that weren't scheduled. KPFT is not running them regularly anymore. WPFW, not regularly, but intermittently. WBAI, intermittently. And KPFA, maybe one or two. That's really not great news.
And how about the affiliates?
Hello?
Let me say...
Ryan, are you there?
I think we lost some people.
Yeah.
Who's here?
Don White is still on.
Brian, are you still there?
He cut out.
Okay, Brian is here.
Is it just Brian that we lost just now?
Is Melinda Eilidone on?
Don White?
I think the archives director may be suffering from deterioration of the archives in general.
It sounded like more than just one person getting dumped. It sounded fairly substantial to me.
Brian. Eddie's there?
Yes. Here, I'm back again. I don't know how I lost that call. Sorry.
Brian, I was asking if the affiliates, what the record was of the affiliates picking it up.
Right. Actually, yeah, that was actually the part of the good news I was getting ready to right when I lost the call. We did a carriage report, which is surveying the stations. Teresa did some of that at the Grassroots Radio Conference. And we did a formal survey, which we are getting some feedback. And from our downloads, it looks like between 10 and 20 affiliate stations are carrying it pretty regularly, and some intermittently. So, you know, it is good news, and we are getting feedback from the audience. We're getting, our sales are increasing, and we're actually preserving a lot of materials.
Mm. I've yet to hear it.
It is available online for streaming and podcasting.
Okay, good.
And if somebody can turn the TV down in the background of wherever they are, I can give
the railroad
URL.
The railroad train.
Please turn off
the
train.
Turn the train down.
Yeah, really, turn that darn train down. What do you think this is?
So if you type in your URL address, audio.pacificaradioarchives.org. You'll see our new audio page that we're still tweaking just a little bit, but you can listen to audio now. There.
This is really big news.
Yeah. Have you sent that information out on Pacifica Announce or the grassroots radio listserv?
I am going to do that. Like just today, when I came back from vacation, they fixed some of the language that was on the page. So right now it's sort of hidden page. The audio, some audio is available directly from where it lives in the website, and you go to an actual file to stream it. Like in the preserved listing of audio in our preservation projects page, you can click a file and then go straight to the stream.
Well, so
to go to the actual page where all the material is that you can choose from, I want to tweak that a little bit more before I make an announcement because it needed to have the NEA logo on the page before I told people about it, which was an obligation.
Don White on the stack.
So no, not yet, Teresa, but I will. Thank you.
Don, are you the next one up, or am I missing someone in between?
I don't know. Maybe someone
ahead,
is before
Don.
Me. Well, okay. You know, Brian, I want to bring up kind of a philosophical, kind of a cosmic question here. As you know, there's a...
In the 1 minute we have left here.
Yeah, I'm going to do this quickly because, you know, there's a healthy discussion going on now in the foundation. I think it's around two distinct philosophies and visions around how archives are used. There is a strong view after this presentation in New York by the expert academic who was talking in terms, he was arguing for the widest possible distribution of our archives treasure. And I think the feeling there was that if a very broad number of people have access at either very, very inexpensive or free access to our archives, it will bolster Pacifica's credentials and its image and project us and strengthen our presence on the left and also our capacity to fundraise. So I think the question that some board members are talking about, the PNB members, more privately, I would say, than in public session, is clarifying whether or not you have priorities around making the archives available broadly with this concept that if we're out there giving our stuff or letting it out there to radio agencies and so on, and they're crediting Pacifica, that it strengthens our image and will increase our capacity to fundraise. It's a deeper question than that. But I know in Berkeley, I think the board would be interested in your views on priorities around clarifying how the archives can go out even more broadly. And I think I'll end there because I think my question is clear, even though it's clumsily put, and it's a much more complex question than a minute will give, I know.
Right. I think the things that stand out for me to respond to are the... sort of you have to think of a dividing line between the days of the archives recordings and current programming and current contracts. We don't really, there's so many various restrictions and copyright restrictions and agreements that are connected with the archives materials. It really is cost prohibitive for you to go in one lump sum to figure it all out with one contract or one license agreement.
The other thing is how much needs to be restored
before you make it accessible.
Yes, before and a lot of it we don't even have identified. So we can't just, you know, like go over with, you know, if there was like a magic wand that could instantly put everything online. I mean, that's just not true. It's just not possible. It's like huge amounts of money and time away from that.
You mean to determine what can be distributed and what is, I'm sorry, I'm near the train, so I need to know what the mute is. What is mute here?
Pound one.
Pound one. Okay. I'm going to mute myself because I'm at a train depot.
Okay. We have like there's kind of like two levels or two departments of material, two types of material. One is the material that we have processed and gotten some control over, and that's the material that we've dealt with either because of different kinds of programming or because of people's inquiries or because directly of the Preservation and Access Project. And that material we know, some of it we have rights to and some of the rights are really messy. But what we've done, at least with the restored stuff, is, you know, it's restored, and with some of the other stuff, we know that it needs to be worked with. And then there's you know, the awesome other tens of thousands of tapes, some of which we're not sure what they are, and others which we have to examine before we have any idea what it will take to be able to physically make them available, let alone...
Melinda Eileen Jones?
Hmm? Excuse me?
It's Melinda.
No, go ahead, Addie. That is an ID.
We've done
I'm sorry,
hundred.
I got cut off.
We've done a few hundred. We've done a few hundred.
In 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, this is a subject...
Judge, Sarv, just one quick question for Brian.
Sure, Sarv.
Brian, the Pete Seeger project and the Stead Circle, when is that going to be finished?
Well, we're working with Pete Seeger. We're shooting that, you know, for November 28th, 29th for our Fun Drive Day. Both will be available for broadcast and for premium.
Thank you.
I think we can extend our time if we're going to keep on this item.
Well, that's good.
If I might ask you one quick thing, I was
well,
trying...
Well, wait, let me answer Don's question really quickly about philosophy. And, you know, Addie brought up, you know, it's a little bit more complex than a simple answer. But I think philosophically, you know, it is part of the archive's mission to make the materials accessible. But there's a difference between opening the barn door and letting everybody in and controlling the stalls where the information is when you open the door. Oh, what a great analogy. It's a farm analogy.
I love those farm analogies. Anything with barnyard animals.
So we're all for accessibility, but, you know, we don't want to hurt anybody along the way.
No, but I guess the in Berkeley, some of us will be talking in terms of whether or not this archive can be used in the excellent ways it's now being used, but also, let's say, among all the affiliates, or among other nonprofit broadcasters, if they want to access what's in our archives for, let's say, a special they're doing. Let's say someone's doing a special on immigrant labor, and we provide them with archival, maybe discussions by leaders of the United Farm Workers. Is there a program in which the only thing that we would get out of that would be crediting the Pacifica archives?
We do that now. The affiliates have access to the whole collection. We just worked with Rob Robinson, who I think is the affiliate representative on this committee, and he wanted to do a special on Lawrence Ferlinghetti and for a poetry show, and we digitized 7 programs that hadn't been touched, put them on AudioPort. He received them. He used them. And all four, I won't say free, but at no cost to the affiliates outside of their affiliation fee.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie, we have to extend time if we're going to continue.
Do you want to move that we extend and for how long?
I would say extend for 5 minutes.
Do I hear any objection to extending for 5 minutes? Sounds like we'll extend for 5 minutes. Brian, could I also break in on this particular subject a little bit?
Yes.
Wanted to overlap what you were saying in that in many ways the rights to these are each an individual case depending upon the tape. And it is quite tangled, and although I know that open source is kind of a bright, shiny object in front of everybody's eyes right now, I know that it has come up in several different ways on the national programming calls, and I just want to suggest to everyone that we have to move slowly and cautiously on this, because copyright can get very, very, very tangled.
I think what I can offer to the board in letting it have enough information for discussion. Now, there are a lot of materials in the archives of national board meeting minutes from the 70s and 80s that I have that discuss this, you know, past boards and past board members, some of this very same stuff of how do you distribute the archives, and that was discussion before the Internet. But the same rules apply in many cases. So what I'd like to do is, you know, sort of get to the point where I can gather materials and make them available to the board for research and, of course, include in discussion.
Well, may I have a question? Hello, are you there?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
you said when we found the item, for example, that was on the Martin Luther King speech that was in his pocket and it was given by his wife, you said that the MLK's family owned that.
Well, we own the recording. The family owns the content, the rights to the intellectual property.
So how do we handle that?
We only broadcast it. We did not use it for premium use, and we did not put it on the website for purchasing. So the only thing that we did with it was rebroadcast it in the memorial program for Mrs. King, and that was with sort of permission from Stanford University and the Martin Luther King papers, who got a copy of it. It is being used now via the Brown University is doing a study on, Addie, if you can remember this term, that would be really great, geographic, psychological, it's a psychological study on geographic audio. So the Coretta Scott King speech that we discovered as part of the series, our study, is going to be broadcast on the exact location in Central Park where Coretta gave it originally, and that's going to be filmed as part of a study of the audience response to the speech. So it's sort of, you know, being accessible in very creative, cool ways that, you know, we're not responsible for the rights on that one. The Brown University had to go to the family to get their permissions to use it.
But so are you saying that's only been played on the air once?
It was played on the air originally, and we played it again on Coretta Scott's memorial, and yes, I think those are the only two times it's been broadcast.
Isn't that a shame in a way? I mean, what would it take to actually play it a little bit more?
Well, they, you know, Martin Luther King stuff is just the worst. The worst. You know, somebody go work with them.
Yeah, the family's fighting over it.
It's not us.
The copyright issue, and that's the point Bonnie's trying to raise, I think, about that it's pretty complex.
Yeah, there's a difference between the physical ownership of the tape and the material on it.
Right. In a lot of ways, you know, we can negotiate some terms of use. But the family, you know, they're fighting, so there's really nobody to approach to get to the point of saying, we have the recording, you have the intellectual property rights, can we work together to do these number of things? We'd like to use it as a premium gift for our fund drive to, you know, for preservation. We are the only ones that have it, after all. And in return, we'll give you the copy of the recording. That can happen. That's sort of like the basics where you start. But the family's not approachable right now.
A quick question.
But it's an extreme.
A quick question.
Sorry, I'm not sure who that is.
We have reached time again.
I'm sorry?
We have reached time
on this.
Okay.
I'm willing to move on.
You guys ready to move on?
Yes.
Sounds like everyone's...
I would like to hear Don's quick question, and I have a quick question that I think might be able to be answered in maybe 2 cents.
Don, go ahead first.
Okay, I just want to see what percentage of the archives we're talking about. I know the King family is difficult, but let me just ask, what percentage of the archives would not be impacted by this horrendous copyright situation? Those are the, I mean, you know, there are 55 years of archives, and so I just want to make sure that we're not talking about a small percentage that makes it difficult. Isn't there a vast, vast percentage that are actually not impacted by this problem?
Yeah, most of them are completely of no interest to most people.
That's a universal rule.
I really didn't mean any shit. I didn't mean to insult anyone by that. But you know what I mean? I mean, we know the big names that are of interest to a lot of people for a lot of study. But if you think about what we really have the rights to, which are like local call-in shows or somebody, you know, doing their regular weekly thing, that's not the thing that people really want released for, you know, whatever it is the open source use is. But what I think adding, you know, can you answer this? Because you've actually been around long enough to be able to answer that quicker.
Yeah, most of this stuff was broadcast with the assumption that it would be broadcast, and really largely that it would be broadcast once. And the permissions that we actually have, on file are very, very limited.